Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside. Episode 15, The Wooing of Etain. Hello, welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Let's tell you how you can contact us. You can email us by sending an email to Gary or Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. Or you can record some voice feedback for us using the feedback recorder on our website or by sending us a sound file.
And now for some news and views.
More and more people are joining our Podshow clan all the time, and we'd like to send you a really warm welcome. We thought it was about time we brought you up to date with a little refresher on what you can find on the website to support the shows.
Yeah, exactly. Each day we try to find a news story that is related to the Celtic peoples, whether from the Neolithic and Bronze Age background from which they came, Celtic folk themselves, or Celtic culture right down to modern day Celts.
There's also a forum in which you can chat to us and have discussions with other listeners about anything to do with the show, the Celts, or even play some games. Things seem to have quietened down at the moment, so pop along and say hello. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we would. There's also an archive of past episodes you can listen to or download directly from there. An introduction to what this whole podcasting and feeds business is all about, so you can listen to the shows on your music player without having to be at the computer.
Which is always handy.
Oh, yeah.
You can also find a resources section that lists all the characters that you'll find in the stories with some biographical information, as well as some maps showing where these events took place.
Ah, yes. Yeah, they're a bit behind, I'm afraid. My bad. Sorry. I will update them as soon as I can, though.
Okay.
You'll find the show notes for each episode that show you how each of the characters' names are written, often wildly different to how they're pronounced. And we're just starting a new section for contributors.
Oh yes, we've had some wonderful contributions from music and story to some art, so these pages will give you more information about our greatly appreciated contributors and tell you how you can get hold of their stuff. We're always on the lookout for contributors, so if you have a story or some music or some pictures that you'd like us to share, please contact us and let us know.
Yeah, please do. There's also a credits page, and on the credits page you can see our ugly mugs and a mailing list where you can sign up and you'll get an email from us letting you know that a new episode is out. How's that? Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I think we have. But what you do need to do is tell us what's going to happen in this story.
Sure. Set in the time of the kingship of the great Dugda, this tale tells the story of the birth of Angus Magog and how his foster father, Midir, fell in love with the most beautiful woman in all Erin. In the times when the Tuatha De Dananann held kingship over the Emerald Isle of Erin, there was one great and fertile god who worked wonders for the children of Danu. He would calm the storms, bring the sun and shower rain upon the upturned faces of the crops. He was Eochhe Olahir, the All-Father, but they called him the Skilled One, the Good God, or the Dugda. The great hill fort at the Brúna Boyne was ruled over by Elkmar, and he had a wife whose name was Enya, she who was also known as Boan, she who challenged the power of the Well of Wisdom and created the mighty River Boyne. The Dugda desired her greatly. So great was his power that she would have yielded to the Dugda had it not been for fear of Elkmar. So the Dagda sent Elkmar away on a journey to Brace, son of Elata, in Moyninis. The Dagda worked great spells on Elkmar as he set out, that he might not return early, and he dispelled the darkness of night for him, and he kept hunger and thirst from him. He sent him on a long errand, so that 9 months went by as one day. For he'd said that he would return home again at the time between day and night. Meanwhile, the Dagda went in upon Elkmar's wife, and she bore him a son, who was named Engus. By the time that Elkmar returned, 9 whole months had passed, and he did not know that she had been with the Dagda. The Dagda, meanwhile, brought his son to Midir's house in Brile in Teba, to be fostered. There, Angus was reared for the space of 9 years. Midir had a great playing field in Brile. 50 lads of the young nobles of Erin were there, and 50 maidens of the land of Erin. Angus was the leader of them all, because of Midir's great love for him, and the beauty of his form, and the nobility of his race. He was also called the Macog, the young son, for his mother had said,
"Young is the son who is begotten at the break of day and born between it and evening."
Now of a time, Engus quarrelled with Tria, son of Fable of the Fir Bolg, who was one of the two leaders in the game upon the playing field, and a fosterling of Midir. It was an insult to Engus that Tria should speak to him, for Engus had believed until then that Midir was his father, and the kingship of Brile his heritage. He knew not of his kinship with the Dagda, and he said,
"It irks me that the son of a serf should hold speech with me.
I take it no whit less ill that a hireling whose mother and father are unknown to me should hold speech with me."
"I must speak with my father."
"Hold now, boy. What is this?"
"Tria has defamed me and cast in my face that I have neither mother nor father."
"'Tis false."
"Then who is my mother? What is my father's line?"
"That is not hard to answer. Your father is Ircheola here, and Enya, wife of Elkmar of the Brew, is your mother. It is I that have reared you, unknown to Elkmar, lest it should cause him pain that you were begotten without his knowledge."
"Then I ask you, foster father, to come with me so that my father may acknowledge me, and that I may no longer be kept hidden away under the insults of the Fir Bolg."
Then Midir set out with his fosterling to have speech with the Dagda, and they came to Wisnech of Meath in the centre of Erin, for that was the place of the Dagda's house. Erin stretched equally far from it on every side, south and north, to east and west. Before them in the assembly they found the Dagda. Midir called the king aside to have speech with the lad.
"What does he desire, this youth who has not set foot in my hall until now?"
"His desire is to be acknowledged by his father, for the land to be given to him. For it is not meet that your son should be landless while you are king of Erin."
"He is welcome. He is my son. But the land I wish him to have is not yet vacant."
"What land is that?"
"The Blue, to the north of the Boyne."
"Who is there?"
"Elkmar is the man who is there, and I have no wish to annoy him further."
"So, what counsel do you have for this lad?"
"I have this for him. On the day of Samhain, let him go into the Brew, and let him go armed. That is a day of peace and friendship among the men of Erin, on which no one is at enmity with his fellow, and Elkmar will be in Kinnockshie in Borga, unarmed, save for a fork of white hazel in his hand, his cloak folded around him, and a gold brooch in his cloak, and 50s playing before him in the playing field. Let Angus go to him, and threaten to kill him, unless Elkmar agrees to his terms. Let these be the terms of Angus, that he be king for a day and a night in the Brew. Or, after that time, do not yield the land to Elkmar till he submits himself to my decision. When he comes to see me, let Angus plead that the land has fallen to him as a simple fee for sparing Elkmar and not slaying him. What he'd ask for is kingship of day and night, for it is in days and nights that the world is spent."
Then Midir set out for his home, and his foster son along with him. And on the Samhain following, Engus, having armed himself, came into the brew, and made such an attack on Elkmar that he promised him the kingship of day and night in his land, in return for his life. The Magog straightway stayed there that day and night as king of the land, Elkmar's household being subject to him. On the morrow, Elkmar came to claim his land from the Magog, and threatened him mightily. Engus said that he would not yield up his land until he could put it to the decision of the Dugda, in the presence of the men of Erin.
I have heard all sides in the argument, and I judge that the kingship belongs to Engus.
So then this land accordingly belongs henceforth to this youth?
It is fitting. You were taken unawares on a day of peace and amity. You gave up the land so that mercy would be shown you, for your life was dearer to you than the land entrusted unto you. Even so, you will have land from me that will be no less profitable to you than the brew.
Where is that?
Clotek, with the three lands that are round about it. Your children will play before you every day in the brew, and you will enjoy the fruits of the boyne from this land.
It is well, so shall it be accomplished.
So Elkmar travelled to Clotek, and he built a stronghold there, and Magog abode in the brew in his land. A year later, Midir came to the brew on a visit to his fosterling. He found the Magog on the mound of the Shi in Broga on the day of Samhain, with two companies of youth at play before him in the brew. Elkmar was on the mound of Clotek to the south, watching them. A quarrel broke out among the youths in the brew.
I'll go and break them up.
No, stay here in case Elkmar comes down to the plain. I will go myself to make peace between them. But Midir went, and it was not easy for him to part them. A split of holly was thrown at Midir as he was intervening, and it knocked one of his eyes out. Midir came to the Magog with his eye in his hand, and he said to him, "Oh, would that I had not come on a visit to you, to be put to shame. For with this blemish I cannot behold the land I have come to as well as the land I have left. I cannot return to it now."
"It shall in no wise be so. I shall go to the young Kek, that she may come and heal you, and your own land shall be yours, and this land shall be yours, and your eyes shall be whole again, without shame or blemish because of it."
So Engus travelled in search of the Dianchecht, and eventually found her deep in ancient woodland.
"What ails you, boy?"
"I beseech you to come with me to save my foster father, who has been hurt in the brew on the day of the Samhain."
"Lie still, Midir, and let my charm work. There you are, whole again."
"Good is my journeying now, since I am healed."
"It shall surely be so. Stay with me here for a year, so that you can see my host and my folk, my household and my land."
"I will not stay, son, unless I have a reward for my time."
"What reward?"
"That is easy to say. A chariot worth 7 female slaves, and a mantle befitting me, and the fairest maiden in Erin."
"I have the chariot and the mantle befitting you, but..."
"I know of a maiden that surpasses all maidens in Erin in form."
"Where is she?"
"She is in Ulaid, Elil's daughter, Etain Echraida, daughter of the king of the northeastern part of Erin. She is the dearest and gentlest and loveliest woman in Erin." So the Magog went to seek her, until he came to Elil's house in Moin Innes. He was made welcome, and he stayed 3 nights there. Eilil asked him why he had come.
"I am Engus Magog of the Tuatha De Danann. I am in quest of Etain on behalf of my foster father."
"She will not go with you, for I can in no way profit from you. Because of the nobility of your family and the greatness of my power, and that of your father, if you put any shame on my daughter, I can have no redress whatsoever from you."
"It shall not be so. I'll pay a bride price to you straight away."
"I agree to your offer."
"State your demand."
"That's no hard matter. You will clear for me 12 plains in my land that are under waste and wood, so that they may be at all times for grazing cattle and for habitation for me, for games, assemblies, gatherings and strongholds."
"It shall be done."
So Engus returned home and went straight to his father, the Dugda. He told him of his difficulties and the task that he had to achieve. The Dugda laughed, and with other fey caused 12 plains to be cleared in a single night in Eilil's land. These are the names of the plains: Moimacha, Moilemna, Moinitha,
Moitocheir, Moidula, Moitecht, Moili, Moilin, Moimurhem. When that work had been accomplished by the Macaog, he returned to Ailill to demand Atain. You may not have her until you draw out of this land to the sea 12 great rivers that are in the wells and the bogs and the moors, so that they may bring produce from the sea to peoples and kindreds, and drain the earth and the land. Angus went again to the Dagda to bewail the strait he was in. So the mighty Dagda caused 12 great waters to course towards the sea in a single night. These had not been seen there before this time. These are the names of the waters. Find and Madoran and Sleinar and Nas, and Amnas and Oichen and Or and Bandar and Sameir and Locha. And now when these works were accomplished, the Magog came again to have speech with Ailill in order to claim Atain. Nay, you will not get her till you purchase her, because after you've taken her I shall have no profit of the maiden beyond what I obtain now.
Oh, what do you want from me now?
I require the maiden's weight in gold and silver, for that is my portion of their price. All that thou hast done up to now, the profit of it goes to her folk and her kindred.
It shall be done.
She was placed on the floor of Ailill's house, and her weight of gold and silver was given for her. That wealth was left with Ailill, and the Magog brought Atain home with him. Midir made that company welcome, and that very night Atain slept with Midir. And on the morrow, a mantle befitting him and a chariot were given to him, and he was pleased with his foster son. After that he remained a full year in the brew with Angus. After a year and a day, Midir went back to his own land, the Brilay, and he brought Atain with him. On the day that he left, Angus said to Midir,
"Watch over this woman with you, because the dreadful woman of craft is waiting for you, with all the knowledge and skill and cunning that belongs to her race. Also, she has my word and my protection before the Tuatha Dé Danann."
"You are speaking of Fuamnach, my first woman of the progeny of Beochach, son of Yardunel." Fuamnach was wise and prudent, and skilled in the knowledge and magic power of the Tuatha Dé Danann. For the druid, Bresal, had reared her until she was betrothed to Midir. When Midir and Atain arrived back in their lands, she made her husband Midir welcome, and she spoke much of wealth to them.
"Come, O Midir, that I may show you my house and your rightful land."
Midir went round his land with Fuamnach, and she showed his estate to him and to Atain. After that he brought Atain again to Fuamnach. They could not see that Fuamnach was jealous and bitter that another woman had been brought into her house, and that woman a mortal. Fuamnach went before them into the sleeping chamber where she slept, and she said to Atain,
"Fortunate it is that you have come to the seat of a good woman."
And as Atain entered the house, she saw a great chair at its centre and sat herself down into it. Fuamnach struck her with a rod of scarlet quicken tree, and she turned into a pool of water in the middle of the house. Fuamnach went quickly away to her foster father, Bresal, and Midir, heart-rent, could not go into the house to see the water into which Atain had turned. After that, he was without a wife. Inside the house, the heat of the fire and the air and the seething of the ground aided the water, so that the pool that was in the middle of the house turned into a worm. And after that, the worm became a beautiful purple butterfly. It was as big as a man's head. Oh, the comeliest in the land. Sweeter than pipes and harps and horns was the sound of her voice, and the sound of her wings. Her eyes would shine like precious stones in the dark. The fragrance and the bloom of her would turn away hunger and thirst from anyone around whom she would go. The spray of the drops she shed from her wings would cure all sickness and disease and plague in anyone around whom she flew. She used to attend Midir and go round about his land with him as he went. To listen to her and gaze upon her would nourish hosts in gatherings and assemblies in camps. Midia knew that it was Etain that was in that shape, and as long as the butterfly was with him, he never took to himself a wife, and the sight of her would nourish him. He would fall asleep to her fluttering, and whenever anyone approached who did not love him, she would awaken him. After a time, Fuamnach came on a visit to Midir, and along with her as guardians came the three gods of the Danann, namely Lu and the Dagda and Ogma. Midir reproached Fuamnach exceedingly, and he said to her that she would not be allowed to go free were it not for the power of the guardians that had brought her.
I do not repent of the deed I have done. I would rather do good for myself than any other. Wherever Etain hides in Erin, I will do nothing but hunt her down and harm her, in whatever shape she might be.
She brought powerful incantations and mighty spells from Bressel et Alam, the druid, to banish and scare off Etain from Midir. She knew that the purple butterfly that was delighting Midir was Etain herself, for wherever he saw the purple butterfly, Midir loved no other woman. He found no pleasure in music or in drinking or eating when he did not see her and hear the music of her and her voice. Fuamnach stirred up a wind of assault and magic, so that Etain was wafted from Brile, and for 7 years she could not find a summit or a tree or a hill or a height in Erin on which she could settle, but only rocks of the sea and the ocean waves. And she was floating through the air until 7 years from that day, when she lighted on the fringe of the tunic of the Magog, as he was on the mound of the brew. Engus looked down at her and said,
"Welcome, Etain, careworn wanderer. You have encountered great danger because of the cunning of Fuamnach. Not yet have you found safety in the alliance with Midir. As for me, he has found me capable of actions with haste. The slaughter of a multitude, the clearing of wildernesses, the world's abundance for Aelor's daughter. Seems an idle task, for you, wretched ruin, has followed."
Engus made the girl welcome, that is the purple butterfly, and gathered her in his bosom in the fleece of his cloak. He brought her to his house, and his sun bower with its bright windows for letting the sun and the breeze in, and purple raiment was put on her. Wherever he went, that sun bower was carried by the Magog, and there he used to sleep every night by her side, comforting her until her gladness and colour came back to her again. That sun bower was filled with fragrant and wondrous herbs, and she throve on the fragrance and the bloom of those goodly precious herbs. Fuamnach was told of the love and honour that was bestowed by the Magog on Etain. So she sent a message to Midir, saying,
"Let your fosterling be summoned that I may make peace between us both, while I myself go in quest of Etain."
A messenger came to Engus Magog from Midir, and he did go to speak to him. Meanwhile, Fuamnach came by a circuitous way until she was in the brew, and she sent the same blast on Etain, which carried her out of her sun bower, on the very flight throughout Erin that she had been on 7 years before. The blast of wind drove her along in misery and weakness, until she landed on the roof tree of a house in Ule, where folk were drinking. And exhausted, she fell into the golden beaker that was before the wife of Etar, the champion from Imba Kichmain, in the province of Conchobar. Etar swallowed her with the liquid that was in the beaker, and in this wise she was conceived in her womb, and was born again as her daughter. She was called Etain, daughter of Etar. At that time it was 1,012 years from the first begetting of Etain by Ailill until her last begetting by Etar. When the Magog arrived for his meeting with Midir, he did not find Fuamnach there, and Midir said to him, "The woman has played us false, and if she has discovered that Etain is in Erin, oh, she will go to do her ill."
"I think that is very likely. Etain has been at my house in the brew for a little while now in the shape in which she was wafted from me. and perhaps she is Wan Nach's target.
I think that's likely too.
So Engus hurried home, and he found the crystal sunbower without Atain in it. He tracked for Wan Nach then, and came upon her at Einach Bovna, at the house of Bresal Edelam. The Magog attacked her and shore off her head, and he brought that head with him until he was on the brink of the brew. And yet for us this tale has not ended. This ill-fated love story of fey and mortal is lived once again in the time of the great hound of Ule. In our next episode, we listen to the tale of Erin's oldest man.
Before we move on to this episode's promo, we'd like to update you on some corrections to mistakes that we've recently made.
In episode 13, we had a great email from a listener and dear friend, Adam, whom I called Arden. Sorry, Adam.
Yes, sorry about that. The Out of the Ordinary Festival, the one they were building the stone circle in the UK for, I said we'd missed, but apparently we haven't. It's coming up on the 12th to the 14th of September.
I'd still like to go to that.
Yeah, so would I.
More details about that festival will be in the show notes. I'd also like to send an apology to Scott Sigler. I'm up to date with his Nocturnal podcast, and I realise that it isn't in print yet when I said it was. Oops. Sorry. Can't wait for it to hit print, though. That's one book that I will be buying. Can't wait to see how the story ends, either. Well, I have got some ideas.
And now for a new promo from A Fairy Tale Corner. A great show that, like us, you can rely on to be kid-friendly. They tell classic tales such as The Frog Prince, The Little Mermaid and Rapunzel. I'm going to really enjoy this show. I can't wait to listen to it.
It's your sort of stuff, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah.
Hi, this is Embi, the host of Fairy Tale Corner. Fairy Tale Corner is a new podcast where we feature classic, modern, and original fairy tales that are safe for the whole family. Here at Fairy Tale Corner, the only four-letter F word you'll hear is frog.
Hey, baby.
Sure, Fairy Tale Corner has its share of scary and maybe gruesome events, but it's all good. Only the bad people have bad stuff happen to them. Things like having your eyes plucked out by pigeons or heels and toes cut off by a knife. So join me in Fairy Tale Corner. You can subscribe to the feed at feeds.feedburner.com/FTC. Or visit our website, where you can download individual episodes or subscribe to the feed. The website address is www.chestnutbay.com/FTC. So join me, MB, at Fairy Tale Corner.
Well, that's it for this episode, unfortunately.
So until we meet in the next episode, Slán go bhfuil. You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us a quick email or voice feedback by emailing either Gary, that's G-A-R-Y, or Ruth, R-U-T-H, at CelticMythPodShow.com. You can chat to us in the forums on our website. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hound, who provided us with the theme music for our show. We heard Haghole at the beginning and are listening to The Skylark now. You can find out more about this foot-stomping band at www.sfhounds.com. And thanks again to Diane Arkinstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used for some of the incidental music in this podcast. You'll find links to their websites in our show notes.